You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Some actors have such a commanding presence on stage that it's a pleasure just to sit back and watch them at work. Three-time Emmy Award-winning star Laurie Metcalf falls into that category, and luckily for us, the play she's currently starring in at the Lucille Lortel Theater has the kind of great dialogue that makes the most of her talents. It's called The Other Place, and it's already been extended through April 30th. I'm very happy it brings Laurie Metcalf here today, along with the playwright, Shar White. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Leonard.
Shar, did you always have Laurie in mind for the part?
Well, when we started working with the play with MCC, they did three readings of the play before they committed. This was last year. And the third reading was with Laurie. And
is that the same thing as an audition? Because you're past auditioning, aren't you?
Well, in a lot of ways, they were almost auditioning the play because it was in good shape. But I think, you know, they wanted to run it around the block to see if it would work. And so they did one reading. And I was just flatly convinced that they weren't going to produce it. So it was, you know, it wasn't too stressful for me. And then they suggested some work on the plane to do a second reading and then a third. And I thought, well, when is this going to end? And the third one, they brought in Laurie, and which I didn't see. It was the day of this big snowstorm. I couldn't make it down.
And you said that you didn't feel that they were going to produce it because of previous experiences?
No,
you've had plays produced.
Yeah. I've been produced regionally. And I mean, nothing like this, nothing like a New York production like this. But yeah, you know, I think it's probably just my pessimism to just keep me cool.
So that's where we met. Uh-huh. We met at the reading.
And what did you think when you read the play?
Oh, when I read it on the page, I thought, just in a first quick read-through, I thought I got to the end and I was very, very moved and I couldn't put my finger on why. And for me, that was a really cool heads-up that there's something in here and this will be a really big challenge to work on, and I like a really big challenge.
Well, Shar has said, in order for the play to work, you have to buy that Juliana is the smartest person on earth. Only then can I start pulling out the loose thread that unravels her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is that a bit of pressure on you?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to make people believe that you're the smartest person on earth.
It's hard for you to look smart, Laurie.
They dress me up.
But it's not being the smartest person on earth is a lot more than being smart.
Yes. Well, what Shar was able to create the smartest woman in her field as at the top of the show, and that's what I get to present to the audience. And so I'm very trustworthy character, and you see the humor and the and her intelligence right off the bat, and she is able to keep people, how would you say, back on. She's not aggressive, but she manages to keep people
She's in control, and she's. I mean, part of her MO and part of the way that she operates is that she operates half a step ahead of people in general, and that's sort of a part of her natural defense system. That's what she does with the audience too.
Well, you come across as being really in command on the stage from the beginning, and you start off with a very long monologue. How did you work out the rhythms for that? Because actors love bouncing off of each other, don't they?
Yes, and I was trying to remember if I'd ever done a play where I do a lot of speaking directly to the audience, and I really haven't. But the conceit in the play is that we're at a lecture. It's one of her lectures, or it's really a sales pitch for a drug that she's promoting, and was complete with slideshow and everything, although it's sort of only hinted at technically. But and then it bounces back and forth in time, and then we come return to the lecture back and forth. And so it turned out to be much more technically of a challenge than I expected.
And then you're on stage for the full length of the play without an intermission.
Mm-hmm.
It's 80 minutes, but that's got to be physically demanding.
It is, but the beauty of the writing is that the play has a natural unfolding and of the story and of the emotions, and so it sweeps me along, and the time goes by for me just in a flash.
Shar, how would you describe the plot? Did you intended as some kind of a mystery?
Well, I think I think ultimately the word mystery has to be in there because of the way it unfolds. I mean, it can be a difficult play to speak about because you don't want to give too much of it away.
Because it's when it starts off, we think it's going to go in a certain way,
yeah.
And then things are stood on their heads by the end.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about. I mean, I think sort of the simplest way to explain it really is that it's about the smartest woman on earth who, bit by bit, discovers nothing is as she supposes it is.
Is that why in the playbill two of the other characters are called the woman and the man? So we're not exactly sure who they are and what their professions are.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, the idea behind them really is that one of the reasons why the woman and the man play several different characters, and one of the reasons why they're there to do that is that not only can we as an audience member broadcast these different characters onto them, but Juliana can as well. I think there's a relationship between the play and the audience where the audience shouldn't always know exactly who everyone is, and it's part of how the pacing works for it and how it unfolds.
And your director, Joe Mantello, said, "I think it's best to experience this play knowing almost nothing. Part of the joy of it is its surprises."
Yes.
I know when I go to a screening and they give me press notes, I never read them. I always want to go in with a kind of a blank slate because mm-hmm. you're prejudiced to some degree even by reading reviews, even if the review is a glowing review.
Right, it's true. I think what's really amazing to me about the experience now that I've really stepped back from it as a writer, because once the play is going, it's no longer mine. It's no longer the playwright's. Is going in and watching this experience that Joe and Laurie and the actors and the artists involved in it have crafted, and I'm still swept into this and sucked into this, and it's an experience. There are so many really wonderful pieces to it that Joe's orchestrated.
Seeing it without knowing anything is a really that would be the best way to come because the play is full of surprises and twists and turns. And yet, to see it a second time, you see a different play because then I think you appreciate more the structure that Shark was able to do, the fact that he stays ahead of the audience for as long as he can, for as long as he does.
But for you as an actor, you have to intentionally keep things open to interpretation, don't you?
Well, things change every night on the stage.
But do they?
Yes. Incrementally. To me, they seem big. To an audience member who saw two separate performances, they wouldn't.
Well, and you're carrying such a relationship with the audience, too, because there's so much direct address in this play and it really is this really organic almost two-way exchange with the audience that as they're different, so is your delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Laurie, this isn't the first time you've worked with a number of people here. Joe Mantello directed you in November by David Mamet. You starred opposite Dennis Boutsakaris when you were both in the revival of Brighton Beach memoirs. He plays your husband here as well. Is it good to have that kind of familiarity with the other people you're working with?
Yes, I'm very happy to work that way. Coming from Steppenwolf, we grew up together, really, and that was always a luxury for us, being able to do back-to-back plays together and be familiar with how each other works. And even if we hadn't been in a play at the same together, we at least had been in the same rehearsal room together and knew how each other worked.
Now, you went from Steppenwolf to Saturday Night Live?
Well, 150 years ago, yes. I did.
I mean, most people went from Second City in Chicago to Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, yeah.
Steppenwolf is where we expect all the people who are doing the crime dramas today to have come from.
Oh, right, right, yeah. I've had a really the great fortune of being able to bounce around between theater and some TV and film. And theater being, you know, my first love and always. So I've been focusing on that a lot lately.
Well, you were in Roseanne for how many seasons?
9.
Were you able to do theater as well during that time?
In the summers, yes. Yeah, I would go to Chicago usually, do a play.
And were you happy to be doing it for 9 years? That's like being in a play for the length of a 2 or 3 year run.
Right. Yeah. No, that was a great experience. And I'm so happy to be associated with a show that I had a lot of respect for.
I mentioned, Char, that you had had, not everything you had done in the past had been produced or nothing like this. Mm-hmm. You do maintain a day job?
I do, yeah, yeah. I work 9 to 5 as a fashion copywriter, which is something I just completely fell into around about 10 years ago. I had been waiting tables in the city for a long time and writing, and I was turning 30, and I thought, God, why am I waiting tables? Is there not anything I can do?
You weren't an actor. Why were you waiting tables?
No, exactly. I mean, I don't know. What was I doing? I always ask, what was I doing?
But you were writing plays. You've been writing plays for 15 years.
Yeah,
or so,
yeah, really. I got out of grad school in 93 and moved right to the city, and really right away I was writing. And I sort of put the word out that was there something that I could do with my writing skills? And a friend of mine was running the copy department at J. Crew, so I got a job at J. Crew.
So you're the person who says comes in burgundy,
yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
olive,
yep. Yes, and Tabasco.
Well, every year it's a whole group of foods are applied to the colors.
Yeah. So I've been hopping around between different brands.
How do you balance the two? You're, I guess it's a 9 to 5 job, but when do you do your writing? You have a wife and kids too.
I do. Yeah, I do. It's pretty intense right now. I get up at 5 and I write until. I write until about 6:45 when the boys are getting up, and then I get them ready for school, and then I get on the train. And when we decided to move out of Brooklyn, we live in a village called Cold Spring up the Hudson River. I really decided that it would really work best for me if I had a longer train ride rather than a short train ride, because that's where I get 2.5 hours of writing done on the train there and back, and that's my time.
Well, now with laptops, you can do that.
Yeah, that's right.
Laurie, had you always wanted to go into theater? You have a Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright for an aunt, don't you?
I do, yes. Zoe Akins, mm-hmm. Yes. I didn't. I went to Illinois State University as a German major, and not knowing what I would do with that. But it was the class I liked in high school, I guess. Yeah. Yes.
Or maybe you could get a role, somebody who speaks German and English.
Yes. Yeah, I thought I would be an interpreter. And I guess so acting was like a one step away from that of interpreting. But I fell in with that Steppenwolf crowd and ended up majoring in theater. And then we went straight to Highland Park, Illinois, and started our little basement.
So you were one of the first Steppenwolf members.
Mm-hmm.
And you have done all 3 Toy Story films, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah. That was lucky. I mean, again, to be associated with that, you know, just something that you have so much respect for.
So I assume, Char, until another play is produced, you're going to continue writing fashion copy?
Yeah, yeah.
And what are you going to do, Laurie, after April 30th when the although this may be extended again?
I don't think it can be. Oh, I think that there's something else coming in right behind us. So I think that I will hopefully be back in the fall in a play called Detroit that is coming from Steppenwolf.
Ah, mm-hmm. So you maintain that relationship?
Yes, yeah. I did a play called that play, Detroit, in Chicago this past year.
Meanwhile, the other place is currently at the Lucille Lortel Theater at 121 Christopher Street. It's been extended through April 30th. And for ticket information, you go to our show page at WNYC.org. My great thanks to Laurie Metcalf, who not only stars, but who is on the cover of the Playbill in many different faces, suggesting that there are many different facets to the character she plays, Juliana Smithton. And Char White is the playwright. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.